Welcome, everyone, to the teleseminar tonight. My special guests are Holly Rigsby, certified personal trainer and mother extraordinaire, and the author of the book Fit Yummy Mummy. Now, if that isn't a great title, I don't know what is. Fit Yummy Mummy. In case you're wondering, in the UK, I believe they do refer to mothers as mummies. Is that correct, Holly? Am I getting that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so you went with a British thing there, but I love that title. And she is a fit yummy mummy. So if you ever want to see her picture, we'll tell you how to, you can see it on the everyotherdayDiet.com, but you can also see it on her site as well. And we'll tell you how to get in touch with these fine folks during the recording tonight. But also with us is Daniel Kopkis. He's a master of science, and he's also well known for making some really outrageously good nutritious shakes. And I wanted to pull Daniel in tonight because he's a co-contributor to Every Other Day Diet version 2.0. And thanks to Dan's recipes as far as shakes go, we've got a really, really fascinating way of getting your nutrition in first thing in the morning. It's not something you have to do every day, but it's something we encourage you to do at least 3 days a week because it really does get your day started off right and get that blood sugar going good. So, Dan, thanks for being here tonight, and I know that you're going to have a lot of good things to say about our subject. And in case you're wondering whether or not we're going to start talking about really trite things like, well, here's how you lose weight during the holidays. Don't eat as much. Well, okay, we're going to try to avoid the obvious, okay? Don't eat as much, okay? We kind of got that. Put down the fork. We understand that that's probably part of it. But there's a lot of other things that go into it, and there's a way that you can do this that I talk about in Every Other Day Diet that allows you to actually enjoy these days without feeling horrible the next day, and actually encourages your body to release its body fat. And so what we're going to do is talk about some of the principles behind why this works and how you can utilize it. We're also going to be answering your questions. I'm going to go for about 15 minutes of talking so we can, share what we know with you guys. And Holly and I and Dan will all chime in and say, here's what our thoughts is on a certain subject are going to be on metabolism, on eating the foods that you enjoy versus being on a strict diet all the time, on how our tips for the holidays, et cetera. And then we'll field your questions. And so that's how the teleseminar will work. I wanted to go 90 minutes. It's a long teleseminar because I just think that we're going to have a whole lot of questions to answer, and I wanted to make sure that you guys have as much time as you need. So welcome, everyone, to the call. Really appreciate you guys being here. So we're going to get started, if it's okay with Holly and Dan, with a simple question. How many out there, and feel free to text your answers because you can text questions. You can also text answers. So feel free, if you're sitting in front of your computer, most of you are. How many of you out there gain weight over the holidays? Now, I'm going to take a wild guess and say the vast majority. So now a question to our guest. Have either of you ever gained weight during the holidays? Holly?
Oh, this guest. Oh, yeah, in the past
yeah.
When I did not know what I was doing, yeah, there were a couple pounds here and there.
a couple of pounds that she's being very modest. Dan, were you born fit or did you actually ever gain weight during the holidays?
No, I actually gained weight, and not until I employed some strategies was I able to get through it pretty well, actually.
Well, here's what's really interesting. I actually use, and this is why I thought this call was going to be a little bit different than the normal, okay, just don't eat as much turkey and dressing and all that kind of stuff if you celebrate Thanksgiving. I actually use this time to actually lose body fat. And that's why I wanted to do the teleseminar. And it's one of my passions and inspirations for wanting to ride Every Other Day Diet to begin with, is because these are tricks that I've used as an athlete, as a bodybuilder, if you want, whatever you want to call a guy that lifts weights to gain muscle and lose body fat, but doesn't stand on a stage in those silly posing trunks that look like underwear. That's me. And we use tricks to maximize our metabolism. And one of the tricks that we've used, athletes and bodybuilders in general, is staggering calories, meaning that you eat less one day, more the next, less one day, more the next. And in doing so, your body cannot catch up to itself in a sense. It doesn't catch on to the fact that you're trying to starve it. So you can lower your calories for a day, eat very low calories for a day, and your body doesn't think it's going into starvation mode. And that's what's happening on a normal diet. On a normal diet, when you're trying to restrict your calories every single day, day in and day out, what happens is your body goes into a fight or flight mode, meaning it shuts down out of panic. It's going, okay, there's a famine, and who knows when I'm going to get the food, and you've got to, and I've heard this before, but it's good to hear this again because I think we need more reminding sometimes than we need knowledge. So I try to be a good reminder for people. So the essence of what we're saying here is starving yourself on a calorie-restricted diet, never a good idea. It's not going to last long, and that's genetically determined. Some people can last a long time on a low-calorie diet, like months before their body shuts down. Some people can only last a few days or a week, and their metabolism completely shuts down, which is why you get the, oh, I lost 5 pounds the first week, and then you start gaining weight the week after. Your body, and you're eating the same thing. Your body's metabolism just catches up very, very quickly. So one way to trick it is to stagger your calories. Eat less one day, eat more the next. Now, that eat more the next sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, especially, okay, eat more food on a diet. Well, the problem is how much more food and what food do you eat? It's very easy if I tell you to eat more food to way overdo it, and you eat less food one day, and then you eat three times the amount of food you're supposed to eat the next day, and then it kind of cancels each other out. That's called yo-yo dieting, and that's not where we want to go with this. So there is an in the middle. There is a middle ground. And I think every other day diet covers that middle ground, and the guys we have on the panel tonight, and I say guys, meaning Holly and Dan, that we have on the panel tonight will tell you that this is a very, very smart way of doing it while being healthy at the same time. So let me just tell you why I use this time to actually get leaner, and then we'll start branching into questions on metabolism, and then we're getting a lot of questions here on the forum. And I also want to start picking Holly and Dan's brain about a couple of subjects. And when you guys don't know what they are yet, but nothing like a good surprise, right? So I use this time because it's almost like a rebellious thing. I'm like, okay, the world tells me that I'm supposed to have XYZ happen to me at XYZ time. And I'm going, no, I'm my own man. I'm going to do it this way. And so that's sort of where that originally stemmed from. So I decided I would always peak in my body toward the end of the year where everybody else is, you know, eating a lot of food and all that kind of stuff. So I enter the new year in the best shape of my life. It's kind of a little bit different. So there are no New Year's resolutions because I'm already kind of there, and that's just the way I've done it. And part of the reason that I did it that way, and I'm encouraging you guys to kind of change your way of approaching your body and the way that you think of dieting, is because if you can do that, you can do anything. I mean, think of it as climbing a mountain. If you can climb Everest, you can climb, well, just about anything, right? Well, that's kind of what you're doing by saying, okay, this is the time where I'm actually going to get leaner. And I actually instigated a challenge to people. In fact, on the page that you're looking at right now, if you're on the web, you're going to see a link that says join the Snap Challenge. The Snap Challenge is a challenge for you guys to get in the best shape of your life over this period of time. And the contest is going to end in the end of January. So we're going to actually go through the New Year's resolution time and everything. But who can get in the best shape? And, yes, there's actually money involved. So during this economy, it's a good thing. You know, if you're living in the United States or just about anywhere in the world, you're giving away money for people getting lean. And we're really doing it because we want to not only improve our product and what we deliver to you, but also because we want to encourage you to change the way that you approach your diet and your life. So with that being said, that was my motive to start with. What I found out is what's really interesting. What I found out is that I was getting leaner eating on Thanksgiving Day and eating on, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. And this didn't make sense. The next day I was a lot leaner, and I'm thinking, hold it. I just ate like, you know, a pumpkin pie. I didn't eat the whole thing, but I ate a lot of turkey and dressing. So what gives here? And I want to briefly cover what gives there. This is kind of like taking what I was originally saying about staggering your calories and, figuratively speaking, putting it on steroids, really jacking it up. Because what's going on here is I'm eating far less food and far more protein on several days before these holidays come around. And therefore, I've already set up my body's metabolism because protein elevates the metabolism more than carbohydrates and fat. Protein satiates your appetite more than carbohydrates and fat. In fact, the study just came out today. How is this for irony, Holly and Dan? I don't know if you saw this study, but it was just published, it was either today or yesterday, that said that high-protein diets for people who have stubborn body fat and can't lose weight are by far and away better because they blunt the appetite and they control the blood sugar and they slow down those processes that a lot of naturally lean people don't have to worry about. So in case you're wondering, is there something wrong with me? No. Everybody just needs to learn how their body functions. Well, my body functions very well on protein foods. So I stumbled on this and I started eating when I say low carbohydrate, I'm not talking like quote unquote Atkins. I'm talking about, you know, lowered carbohydrate, leaner, healthier proteins. And that includes, by the way, beef and eggs. I'm not against beef and eggs, but, just really, really high quality proteins. Nothing cheap, nothing from a deli. You know, nothing out of a package. These are all like home-cooked proteins. And for several days in a row, and vegetables. And Holly and I call it protein and produce, right, Holly?
That's right.
That's really it. The two P's, protein and produce. And that's the two P's, by the way, this is a hint, SNAP, S-N-A-P-P. The last two P's stand for protein and produce. That's very important. Because you really cannot go wrong if you're eating protein and produce, especially at night where those meals fall. And what I found out was that that 2 or 3 days after doing that, when that day rolled around where I ate, okay, you know, maybe 3 or 4,000 calories, first of all, it was offset, way offset by the fact I was eating, for a guy that weighs 200 pounds, I was eating, you know, 1,500 calories the days before, but I was really satiated. I was satiated because my fat was high, well, relatively high, not sky high, and my protein was very high. The carbohydrates were very low, so I felt very satiated. And then, of course, when I ate the big food, there's a lot of metabolic things that happened, and I discovered what they were. If you guys want me to bore you with technical details, I will. But basically, a hormonal influx is going on. You get a huge insulin spike, so it's anabolic, especially if you're weight training. It's anabolic, meaning that your body goes into overdrive. Your body starts packing on lean muscle in the right places. It's not the bulky stuff, unless you want the bulky stuff. And at the same time, because your metabolism shoots through the roof, you start burning a lot of body fat. You actually get hot. Actually, your body feels hot, and you get into a state called thermogenesis. And that's what was going on. And so what I decided to do is, what if we created a diet based around this principle? Only we made it a little less severe because, you know, being an athlete, I kind of lean toward the more severe side, and made it more palatable to the masses, and that's what we've done. And so we want to share with you tonight just some of the tricks that we employ in Every Other Day Diet to help you get through the holidays and lose body fat. And trick number one, and then I'm going to go to my questions to Holly. I'll start with Holly if that's okay, Dan. Trick number one here is to do exactly what I'm talking about. I want you guys to prepare start preparing 3 days before. So this is the perfect timing. Actually, this is 2 days before, but that's okay. I'll let you off. Okay, it's 2 days before Thanksgiving if you celebrate Thanksgiving. Prepare 2 or 3 days before Christmas. And all you do during these days is you start eating a lot less carbohydrate. You're not going to need it for 2 or 3 days. When I say a lot less carbohydrate, I'm talking about starchy carbohydrates, anything white, like flour, white sugar, just reduce it drastically. The best meal to do that with, in my opinion, is breakfast. Start your breakfast off with a high protein, very low carb breakfast. Now, you'll notice that I'm not asking you to eat a lot more protein and replace the protein with the carbohydrate. Eat the same amount of protein and a little bit more. Eat a little bit more fat, and that's it. So your calories are naturally lower. But watch what happens when you take away the carbohydrates. You do not have the insulin response, so you're not hungry. That helps blunt the hunger mechanisms. And after you go through the day, after 3 or 4 hours, you'll notice that you're hungry again. Eat another protein meal, small protein meal. Eat a little bit of fat, a little bit of natural carbohydrates if you want at that point, like berries are great. Any kind of low sugar fruit is really good, like blueberries, strawberries. I prefer just broccoli. That's what I usually lean toward. And then repeat that for 2 or 3 days. And if you want to eat a little snack here or there, that's fine. But just kind of keep it really, you know, high protein, low carb for 2 or 3 days and low calorie. You'll naturally eat a lot less calories when you do this. So don't worry about counting calories, because I've never known anyone to gorge themselves on baked chicken. If you guys know anyone that goes, I just can't get enough of baked chicken breasts, you know, I just can eat it all day long. That usually falls under the category of, you know, of dessert when people say things like that, or pizza. So don't worry about that. That's what you do, and then you're preparing yourself for the big day. Tip number two, and this is very important, on the big day, where let's say it's Thanksgiving, instead of piling your plate super high, think of your plate the same way that you've been thinking about your plate for the 2 or 3 days before. Put the protein on your plate. Obviously, you're going to get some carbohydrates. Put the carbohydrates on your plate and enjoy them. But don't stack everything up. Just take the small plate. What you're going to notice is that over the 3 days prior is that your appetite is so blunted that you're going to feel very full very quick. Now, the good news is your metabolism is going to elevate, so you're going to want to eat again in a couple of hours. So those seconds, as long as you go back in a couple of hours, aren't going to really hurt you. But when you start gorging yourself, that's what's going to hurt. So that is a very, very simple tip. I've got, you know, 4 or 5 more to share with you over the course of the evening here. But very simple tip on how you can get ready for the holidays, and you will actually burn body fat by doing this. Now, obviously, if you start now and you go Friday, are you going to burn 6 pounds of body fat? No, that's not possible. But you're going to get on the course to do so, and that's what we're going to help you do. So, Holly, I'm going to ask the first question of you tonight. How do these this first technique that I'm talking about, staggering the calories, eating elevated protein, how did things like that help you when you went from when you were pregnant? And you put on a little bit of weight, and so it's on your website.
A lot.
Not being personal. Okay. But he was worth it, right?
Oh my God, yes, every day.
Yes, every day was worth it. And now, you know, it's so funny because you can see Holly and the little tyke, you know, they're just, you know, the fit looking, you know, the whole family is that way. And,
yeah, he's the new guru.
is he really? So,
he will recite everything for you.
Okay, well, that's very good. We might want to get him on the call here. So, but how did these things help you when you said, okay, I don't want to be, okay, now I had my son and I don't want to end up being, you know, 30-ish, we'll say, and overweight, or just keep going if I have a second or a third, and just, you know, do the typical, which is very easy to do. I mean, women, you know, guys, if you're on the phone and you're sitting there with your wife, or you're sitting there with your girlfriend, I can tell you firsthand from my girlfriend's experience, we have it a lot easier in so many ways when it comes down to this whole, every girl's out there kind of nodding their head, because you guys have got that's a very New York thing coming out of me, but you ladies, you have so many things going against you when it comes down to hormones, when it comes down to genetics. But let me tell you, you can look at women like Holly and say, hey, just because it's harder for me doesn't mean I can't do it and do it really well. Because Holly's in better shape than all of us. So there you go. Holly, how did you get it done? I mean, how did these things that I was talking about, the staggering your calories, eating more protein, elevating thermogenesis, and not trying to eat perfect all the time, how did that help you get into great shape?
Well, first and foremost, I had to overcome my fear of eating so often, because I know as women it is very hard, because we've all been, you know, our mindset has all been affected by the fact that in order to weigh less, we have to eat less. So that was my very first obstacle. And once I understood that I need to be eating often enough to fuel my body, you know, fuel my energy levels, keep my body nourished, that's when I started experimenting with the way that I was eating. And I found that, you know, I kind of had to bite the bullet and kind of say, okay, you know, maybe this is not the most supportive food, you know, eliminate that. And once I found the combinations of food that clicked, I really, really liked how good I felt. I mean, I was one of those people that could not wait until, you know, I got home, you know, in the afternoon and could take a nap. I wanted Tyler to take a nap because I was so exhausted. But once I got the calories right and the food combinations right, I didn't want to take that nap, and I was full of energy. And then the next day, I'm like, you know what? I love the way I feel. I'm going to do that again today. And I promise you, within the first week, I noticed that my belly was flatter, just from the elimination of those processed starchy carbs and really focusing on the protein and the produce. And that's when I got the ball rolling. And the results came so fast, just simply from tweaking what I was eating. I loved it.
Now, when you talk about the ball rolling, that's funny because the next topic that on my list was called a metabolic roll. That's, I don't know if
you
use that
term. It.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, okay. Dan, are you familiar with the term metabolic roll? I mean, I thought this was relegated to the weirdo bodybuilder types, but, the metabolic roll is what happens whenever you eat a certain way for a few days and all of a sudden everything just kind of flips. And there's that light switch that flips on in your head, but also in your body where you just feel like you're just losing body fat all the time and you feel like you have tons of energy. That's a metabolic roll. And we're going to talk about how to get on it and how to stay on it. You can't stay on it indefinitely like everything else, but you can stay on it a long time. So Dan, the stuff that we're talking about here, what are your thoughts on this and how do you see this working into real world eating? Cause I don't think you and I, Dan is a purist. I tell you that right now. And that's one reason I like to have Dan on these panels. He's definitely a purist when it comes down to nutrition. And I tend to be as a nutritionist more of a realist, I guess you could say, where idealistically it would be fantastic if you ate this way, but hey, I'm living over here in the real world. And in the real world, people aren't going to do this. If I'm not going to do it and it's my job, I don't think that the majority of people whose income doesn't depend on it is going to do it. So we have to meet in the middle. And I think Dan and I have done a pretty good job of doing that. So Dan, what's your take on the whole metabolic staggering, process and elevating satiating your appetite with protein?
Well, John, you know, when I make a smoothie in the morning, it definitely has some high-quality protein in it. I use a very high-quality whey protein. And sometimes I'll even have, like, some fish in the morning. I know it's kind of not traditional breakfast, but I'll actually eat a meal in the morning and not have your traditional breakfast cereal because, you know, the cereals, the box stuff that people are getting, it's basically a processed food. It's high in sugar. And I think, like you said, it sets people up for failure later on. I think if you start with something very sugary like a donut or high-carb food, you're going to crave that later on in the day. So I don't want to do that. I used to do that, and it didn't work for me. So, yeah, I agree with starting, like you said, with protein. And then I eat often, like you said. I eat quite often. I'm usually snacking on pumpkin seeds, which, is, as you know, are good for men. I'll have those, I usually have a few handfuls, three or four or five handfuls. You know, sometimes in the middle of the day, I'll eat a lot of raw nuts and things like that. So, and then like you said, I think you said you kind of munch on broccoli. I would, let's say, just munch on a bag of arugula. That's kind of like my fix. So that's kind of like what I do. And I think one of the biggest things also is surrounding myself with healthy food. You know, keeping my environment clean. So that, like right now, there's no ice cream in my freezer. So there's no temptation for me to go ahead and because I'd be thinking about ice cream all day. So I try to set myself up for success.
It's a great way to do that is to make sure it's not in the house. And it's funny because what I say in Every Other Day Diet is one of the oldest tricks in the book, and yet that's what it was told. When it was told to me, the guy who said this is one of the oldest tricks in the book, and I had never heard it. So maybe, you know, we've got literally over 1,000 people listening to this webcast right now. So maybe you guys, maybe 500 of you, this will be new. But like Dan, you know, don't put the bad food in the house. One of the tricks that this guy told me is a lifesaver. And here in France, where I'm here on business and a little bit of a vacation. How could you not be on vacation in the south of France? But it's great to be here on business, let me tell you. But here I've learned that everything is small here. If anyone's from France or has been to France, it's all very small. The cars are small. I mean, the first time I saw the cars over here, I literally started laughing, you know, being from Texas. It's like, is this a car or a go-kart? I'm not really sure. And the elevators are small. I mean, literally, being, you know, into the bodybuilding thing, me and my buddy, the two of us could barely fit into an elevator. I'm like, this is just really crazy. Well, the plates are small. And it's a great way to drop body fat. Buy smaller plates. I know that sounds really, really silly, but buy smaller plates. Like this Thanksgiving, we got a question from Lee from Florida. Lee, I'm telling you the exact opposite, that you can enjoy eating with your families on Thanksgiving. Absolutely. The difference is I'm just telling you to eat smart, to divide your meal up over the course of the day versus eating everything all at once. That's, you know, when we talk about enjoying Thanksgiving meal, you don't enjoy it 30 minutes later when you feel like you're going to die. And when I say feel like you're going to die, I'm not kidding. People die on Thanksgiving more of heart attacks than any other day of the year. I'm not kidding. That's a statistical fact. Heart attacks occur more on Thanksgiving. Simple reason why. You way overeat and you have the stress of the whole family and the travel thing. So combined with that, blood pressure shoots to the roof, you have sudden heart attacks. We don't want that to happen. That's not enjoyable. That's really miserable. So what you can do is enjoy the same thing. You just don't have to enjoy it in quantity. And, you know, like a great painting doesn't have to be huge to be a great piece of art. It can be very small, right? The same thing with a meal. It doesn't have to be massive. It can be moderate. And I'm not saying eat little bitty, you know, pieces of this, that, or the other. I wouldn't be satisfied with that either. But don't overdo it. That's all we're saying is to divide it out. But prepare for it in those 2 to 3 days ahead. So I didn't mean to get way off the subject there, Dan, but I got sparked here with a question. So if the panelists do not mind, we have a few very good questions here. I want to get to, and we'll talk about we'll get onto the metabolic role thing in a minute. But Lee,
John,
I saw your question.
Can I just jump to dovetail on the small plate thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I want to say I think that's a great way. You know, that's portion control, and I think one real way to kind of enjoy your food is to eat it slower. And there's a whole movement out there called the slow movement, and a lot of people eat too quickly. So as you know, it takes 20-30 minutes for, you know, the signal to your brain to know that you're full. And I've actually experimented with clients, using the small plate principle, but also eating with chopsticks, because chopsticks automatically slow down. So I'm not saying anyone should show up with chopsticks at Thanksgiving, you know, unless of course you know the rest of the family's doing it. But to slow down to eat your food, you're naturally going to get fuller with less food, and that's the same principle sort of you're talking about with the small plate theory.
Can I add to that too?
Oh, please do. Yeah.
For all the moms listening out there, use your children's dishware. That's what I do. I mean, Tyler's got his own plates and bowls and cups. I use them too. It's instant portion control. And, I mean, you've got it built into your home right now. It's just a matter of starting to use it.
These portion control tips are huge, but the thing I personally rebel against, and I bet you that a lot of people out there are going to say, I agree. I rebel against this too. It's if someone tells me, you can't eat all this, then there's that natural rebel that comes out and says, yes, I want to eat all that. But when the plate is only so big or the glass is only so big or, you know, whatever, then there's not that rebellious thing going on. You feel, and try it. Just try this. Try taking a saucer dish. Now, I'm not talking about one of those little bitty saucers for a cup, but, you know, the dishes that are in between a plate that's in between a plate and a saucer, whatever they call those. Try taking one of those, which is what I just ate my dinner on, by the way, and put your dinner on that. And I had all this chicken and I couldn't get it all on the plate. So there was this feeling like I had all this food over, you know, just this ton of food. Well, in reality, if I had put it on a real plate, it wasn't that much food. So, and by the way, I'm very satiated and very, so I'm not hungry at all. And so if people are wondering, oh, you're starving yourself. No, not at all. Not at all. And, we're going to get into the extreme version of this, by the way, because before anyone says, oh, they're talking about, you know, starving yourself. No, not at all. And let me tell you how far I go with this. I go way overboard probably with what Dan's going to say. Holly, I'm not even sure where you stand on this, but I'll go to the point to where I believe in weight training so much and aggressive exercise so much that my body will get to the point after 3 or 4 days where it says, go eat a pizza. And I'm talking about wolf the whole thing down. Now, I don't know about you. That does not feel like a diet at all, but I got in last year, toward the end of the year, again, I was at right around 6.2% body fat, and this is a guy that used to be obese. In case you don't know my history, I was 36% body fat when I was 32 years old. So this is not coming from some genetic, you know, freak of nature at all. I have the worst body fat genetics you can imagine when it comes down to just, you know, pocket obesity, stubborn body fat. I still wrestle with stubborn body fat. Don't like it any more than you do. But if I could get down to that low body fat without any sort of fat burners, in case anyone's asking, no steroids, no fat burners, I mean, not even over-the-counter fat burners. And if there was a safe one, I would take it. But I just now found one that is a safe one. And it's the first one I've even talked about. I've got several people on here. Will you please talk about Tribistol Plus? Yes, I will. Because it is safe. it's very difficult to find a safe fat burner. There's a couple of them that I support, but anyway, so the point is that if I could do that naturally, taking some supplements naturally, because I do like supplements like creatine and all that, then you can do it too. And you don't have to get to that degree of body fat. But I was doing that eating, I would eat a burger once a week, I would eat Mexican food once a week. Does that sound like a radical diet to anyone?
Nope.
So, I was radical in the days in between that. And it was kind of fun to be radical. It was kind of fun to say, today I'll just eat, you know, tuna and chicken all day long and see how I can make it taste good. That was just kind of a challenge. Now, I wouldn't eat tuna and chicken all day long every day. That would be insane. You know, but to do it for one day is kind of fun. I did it today, as a matter of fact. Today was like, you know what? I just feel like eating tuna and chicken all day long. Yeah, and a little bit of vegetables. That's it. And you're thinking, wow, that guy must be nuts. No, it's because I know what I'm going to eat on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have a great time on Thursday. And so it's easy to eat it on Tuesday. And then tomorrow, of course, I won't eat, you know, tuna and chicken all day long. I'll eat more of a normal snap kind of diet. But these are the kind of games that I enjoy playing with myself when it comes down to dieting. So, yeah, the portion control is huge. So if you guys have any questions about portion control, do text it in. I'm going to go ahead and get to a few questions here. I'm going to go through these pretty quick here, and if I miss you guys questions, excuse me, because there's just a lot of them. I did want to say somebody asked if they couldn't stay for the whole 90 minutes, will this be available later? Yes, it will. There's going to be something that's not going to be available later, and that's what we're going to talk about at the very end, which is something that we want to offer you guys. Meaning it's going to be, you're going to have to listen to the whole audio to get to it, but yeah, I'll make sure that the recording of that is available. The offer that we're talking about is only limited. So stick around if you can, especially if you can stick around later this evening. Nama, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, excuse me, from Dallas, asked about the protein 2-day rule. Can you get that recorded on paper? Better yet, you can get it recorded. So, like we were saying, this is going to be recorded. And we're getting a lot of people from Dallas. It's funny because I was born in Dallas and a big Cowboy fan. So, Dallas people, hello. when I'm in Dallas and I do these things, no one's from Dallas. How strange is that? So. Sandra talks about the no-grain diet, and the no-grain diet, if I'm not mistaken, was written by my friend Joe Mercola, and Joe is an extremist as well, as Dan will testify to, very, very much so, and I agree with 85% of what Joe says. The only problem, and especially the no-grain part, I'm not a big fan of grains, but the only problem with that kind of extremism is it's very, very hard to stick to. And some people can do it. Sandra, you did a great job. Congratulations, by the way. Some people can't. And I wanted to create a diet where almost anyone could stick to it. And when I say almost anyone, I think there will always be that person that just, whatever reason, you know, food is their drug and that's their problem or their addiction, and that maybe they just need a long time before they can come to terms with it. I think that the tool that we're going to talk about later tonight will help you do that. That's more of a mental thing. And I went through it. So this is nothing to be shy about. I went through it big time. And so I think we can definitely help there. But for the other, you know, other part of the crowd, you know, it's a 95% success rate. And I think that's pretty darn high. So, and that's because it's a very simple diet to follow. And I want to say, losing weight is never easy. If someone tells you it's easy, they're lying. But it can be easier. And the easier, I want you to hear that part about it. We can make it easier. Okay. So a couple more questions here, then we'll move on to the next topic here. Cynthia from Las Vegas, asked about insulin resistance. Well, Cynthia, I bet Holly can speak a lot about insulin resistance. So can I. Holly, I know I read some things that you've written by you on that, and I wrote 4 chapters in a book on insulin resistance. So would you like to take this one, or should I?
depends on what it is. How specific is she? What is her question?
just more tips on weight loss, exercise, people for insulin resistance. Probably, when you say insulin resistance, Cynthia, you're probably referring to metabolic syndrome or you know, they call it syndrome X. Insulin resistance is usually accompanied by that. And by the way, the nutrition tips that we're talking about right now are massively powerful for insulin resistance because you cut off the source. Insulin is spiked primarily by carbohydrates, secondarily by fat, but usually when those are measured in studies, the fat is not taken by itself. It's taken with some form of carbohydrate. So I don't believe fat by itself raises insulin. But so Holly, anyway, anything you want to say to Cynthia regarding insulin resistance?
I would say, yeah, it's a matter of cutting out those carbohydrates that are causing it, because a lot of us don't even realize that we are eating certain types of carbohydrates, especially the processed ones. Even though they might be labeled as healthy, they're still impacting that. So definitely taking a look and cross-checking it with the nutrition guidelines that we're teaching you.
That's I really couldn't say it better. I mean, this is if I had to change the name of the diet from every other day diet, I'd probably call it the insulin resistance diet, because I believe insulin is the absolute foe when it comes down to most people's health. And ironically, we use insulin as a friend on if you weight train and do the every other day diet extreme version of the plan, which I have in the book, by the way. That's the one I follow. Then the insulin that you use, when, by the way, there's a question here, how do you turn away from all those mouthwarmers? I don't.
Neither
fact,
do
I. Use them as, yes, so we're not telling you to. What we're telling you to is to do it at the right time. I don't. In fact, I had a dessert Saturday. It was fantastic. I went to this French restaurant, and I tell you, I wrote a newsletter about it because the French can just cook, man. I don't know what it is about the food here, but it's just outstanding. And I had this wonderful dessert. I shared it with my date, so I didn't feel, you know, it was just way too much. I just didn't want it all, you know. But it was fabulous. And saying those things, it's like, no, I don't turn away from that. But I had just a heck of a workout that day. So I knew that my legs were so beat walking down these. We were walking down a town called Aix-en-Provence, which is, if anyone's ever been to this part of Europe, is one of the big social towns. And walking at least 10, 15 blocks to get to where we were at, it was cold. So I knew my body's thermogenesis was like going through the roof. My dessert went right through me. Literally went right through me. I mean, glycogen got filled back up in the muscles. I'd gone 3 days on low carbs. It was set up to take the dessert. And back to Cynthia's issue, the insulin that spiked, the body knew what to do with it. Part of insulin resistance, Dan, I'm sorry I'm cutting you out of the conversation, but I promise I got questions for you too. But part of insulin resistance is the fact that you've bombarded your body every single day with too much carbohydrate, and it just simply can't use it. And so the insulin's always having to be secreted all the time, and the receptor sites for insulin just simply shut down. So a great way to break insulin resistance is to give your body a really good use for insulin. And the best use for insulin that I know of, other than obviously managing sugar, is anabolism. And anabolism is the opposite of catabolism. In other words, to build muscle tissue. If you work out and you give your body an excuse to use insulin, it will retrain itself, and all of a sudden insulin resistance goes to nothing. And that, Cynthia, is why they've done 15 different studies I can think of on weight training and insulin resistance, and weight training beats cardio every single time, and only a few of the researchers pinpointed the reason why. It's because of glycogen. It's because the fact that weight training demands a lot more glycogen except for endurance activities, and most people aren't going to want to run marathons. So that's the tip for you. Weight train and eat the way we're talking about, and your body just falls into place. And speaking of weight training, I want to ask Dan and Holly, you guys are both, if you look at their pictures on my book, you can tell that Holly's not a bodybuilder, Dan's not a bodybuilder, but they're both very, very fit. And they have the bodies that most people want. Holly, how important is weight training?
Oh my God, it is the top priority when it comes to your workouts. And that is the one area that so many women are just shy away from it. They're afraid of it. They go right to whatever the traditional cardio is, whether it's running on the treadmill or getting on that crazy elliptical thing. But that does nothing to increase the amount of lean muscle in your body. You have to put resistance training first on your list. It's what's going to reshape your body. And I tell the moms, it's the fastest way to lose inches and get back in your skinny jeans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dan, what do you think?
Holly, that was well said. And I think a lot of women are, I hear this all the time when I used to be a personal trainer. You know, I don't want to put on muscle. I'm afraid to put on muscle. You know, it's very difficult for a woman especially to really look like a bodybuilder, plus to eat like a bodybuilder. You know, I mean, John, you know the extreme diets that some of these bodybuilders go through to be able to, you know, pack on all that weight. So absolutely, you know, doing resistance exercises is key. You want to increase your muscle to fat ratio. The more muscle you have, the more fat you're going to burn in the resting state. I mean, it's not like, oh, I burned 250 or 500 calories on the stair machine, which is an aerobic exercise anyway, but it's while you're in the resting state, sitting at your computer, you know, maybe making a meal in the kitchen or whatever you're doing, when you have a higher muscle to fat ratio, you're going to be burning more fat in the resting state. And the other thing is when you do resistant training, just like you do cardio, if you had a choice to do resistance, you know, exercise is so important for maintaining a good psychology, you know, for keeping, for at least myself, for keeping me on track, because I know I worked out, and that helps me also eat better. Also, if I know I'm going to work out later in the day, I'm going to eat in accordance with that because I don't want to feel sluggish and lazy and slow because I want to get a good workout in.
Those are great points, Dan. And first of all, I couldn't agree more. Second of all, I think that we're all three in agreement on the importance of resistance training. Now, resistance training does not have to be per se weight training. Any sort of resistance. Weights just make it a heck of a lot easier. No one knows this yet except me and the girl that's doing it, that we just finished a 7-minute muscle in-home workout. It was something that we get so many requests for. Can you do 7-minute muscle in the home? And I'm thinking, you know, because 7-minute muscle is just very weight intensive and, you know, to get a workout in 7 minutes, can you do it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've worn out athletes on the 14-minute protocol. They were like, okay, that's it. I've had enough. But that's using a weight room. And I'm thinking, okay, could you actually do this at home? And so I turned to two of the top trainers that I know and said, could you guys help me develop this routine? And the three of us put it together, and it's really cool. So we're going to be releasing that in a few days. I'm really excited about it. If you own 7-Minute Muscle, you get it free. It's just a gift. So kind of cool. But anyway, the point is that in that book we're talking about resistance training and how to actually increase resistance using nothing more than your body weight, you know, and some tools like typical, you know, T-bands or the big, basically look like big rubber bands that you see in the gym, and just some really inexpensive dumbbells. So there you go. That's resistance training enough. That's enough to get your body to go, okay, I need to pack on lean muscle. I'll burn calories around the clock, like Dan said. And Holly, you mentioned this in passing. I couldn't, you know, the elliptical glider, the cardio bunny syndrome. I can't even count how many thousands over the years, thousands literally of women and men that I've seen that are on the elliptical gliders and the Stairmasters and the blah blah blah, and they look the same year after year after year. And when I mean the same, if they look great, that would be wonderful, but they just don't. Okay, they do not have the body that they deserve, and the reason they don't is because they believe that an hour on that elliptical glider is going to excuse whatever they want to eat. And it's not. If you eat the every other day diet, but you forget the every other day part of that, you know, you just eat every day. If you know, it's either the everyday diet, which is bad because it will crash, or the no day diet, which of course is what so many people are doing. Nothing you do exercise wise is going to have any sort of effect on your body fat, because you simply can't exercise enough to take off those kind of calories. So there has to be something you do, and the trick is staggering your calories, eating a lot less one day, eating a little less the day after that, and eating more on the third day. Body's metabolism never slows down, and you start burning fat. We got a couple of questions I want to get to before I go to the next topic. Jenny from Australia, welcome from Down Under. How does alcohol affect your metabolism? It depends on the alcohol. This was an interesting question to me because we just got into this conversation Saturday. We were talking about, okay, when you're on a peaking diet, which we are, and what's the best alcohol to drink? And I would always say red wine, have a glass of red wine a couple of times a week because I really enjoy red wine. And my friend says, no, champagne. I said, champagne, that sounds like, you know, the worst thing you could possibly drink. Well, sure enough, supposedly, champagne is actually not too terrible on a diet. So, but as far as hard alcohol, beer, well, that's why they call them beer bellies. So it really does, it doesn't affect your metabolism as much as it affects your insulin. And we go back to that I word again, insulin. The reason why beer bellies exist with people doing nothing but drinking, and they couldn't possibly be drinking that many calories in a day, is because their insulin is sky high. And you'll notice it's always in that belly region. And it's, and if you've ever, this is kind of a gross thing to say, if you ever come up and punch someone in the stomach, I don't mean to do that, but if you touch that stomach, it's hard as a rock. And the reason why is because that's not subcutaneous fat, the fat, you know, the fat that you pinch under your arms or on your side that you don't like, that fat's not nearly as dangerous as visceral, as the visceral fat underneath the stomach wall. And that's the fat that's lying in between the organs and the muscles. So that is dangerous fat, and that's what is caused by high levels of insulin. So hopefully that does answer your question. So we have an interesting question on cellulite. And Holly, I'm hoping that you are the expert. If you are not the expert in cellulite, let me tell you, one of my good friends, and I don't get any, the stuff I'm mentioning, by the way, is all direct to the websites. Like if I say TribuStallPlus.com, I don't own TribuStallPlus.com. And if I say go Google Joey Atlas, because Joey just came out with a book on cellulite literally last week. And I know Joey personally, and yeah, his name's funny, Joey Atlas. You think Atlas, you know, he's actually like 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
He's so cute, man. The guy,
you're
just cute, man. You know, for a straight guy to say that to a guy, that's kind of funny. You know, he's like a great friend, and he's such a great guy. But Joey Atlas has got a great book on cellulite that just came out. I read the first 20 pages, and he's got a lot of really good stuff to say in there. So Google that, and that will give you the answer, unless Holly has some good things to say right now.
I would not say I'm specifically an expert in that area, but what I can tell you is that you have to take the sensible approach, and if you're filling your body with processed, unnatural foods and you're not doing resistance training, of course your body's going to create that dimpling effect because it's just those fat cells so close to the surface of your skin. And once you begin to implement and smooth out that skin by increasing the amount of lean muscle in your body and burning more calories, that's what's going to help reduce the size of those fat cells and reduce the dimpling, and little by little you're reducing your body fat, and that is what will help to eliminate the cellulite. And I've had several women who have complained about the cellulite in the backs of their legs, and I don't have a specific cellulite formula, they just started eating right and exercising properly and it went away. That's my answer.
Well, I've seen that happen in some people. I'm not a trainer. I veer into the nutritionist realm, but of course I train all the time, and being around people, I kind of lumped into the whole trainer category. I got certified a long time ago, but I never considered myself a trainer. I lean toward you guys. You guys are the trainers. But I've noticed that with my friends who are trainers, and when I'm just around people, they're asking me, hey, what do you do to get so-and-so? I've noticed that as time progresses, as they build muscle underneath that skin, that it starts kind of stretching out and the dimples kind of start going away. But I think that Joy's got some really interesting things to say on that, so I would say Google Joy. Joy Atlas is his name, and no, I don't get any referrals for saying that. So, by the way, if you guys, all you guys that are on the call, thank you very much for sharing your time. I have someone from Europe saying, could you please make this recording because it's really late in Europe? And hey, it's 12:20, pal. I'm right there with you. You know, I know it's late in Europe. I know, but yes, it will be available because I know it's later in some parts, I'm sure. Or you have to get up early, so I don't have that non-luxury. So I have a question I want to tackle firsthand because it's something that I deal with and I've dealt with since I was 27. I've written about it many, many times. Hypothyroidism. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, so please excuse me. It's a very difficult name to pronounce. It says that I have hypothyroidism. You're taking a specific amount of a drug that I'm not aware of. So I'll have to even look that up. That might be a drug that's just there are drugs in certain parts of the world that are not available in others. I found that out, by the way, in France. So I can't tell you, but what I can tell you is to Google Armour Thyroid. armor thyroid. It's natural desiccated thyroid. I've been on it since I was 30 years old. It took me 3 years to convince my endocrinologist to put me on it. And the first day on Armour Thyroid, I remember saying to myself, so this is what a normal person feels like. True story. And I will never forget that day as long as I live. So Armour has helped, literally balanced out my thyroid and has kept it balanced since, I'm 45 now. So, it's kept it balanced for, 15 years. And I can't speak highly enough about it. It's dirt cheap, which is why a lot of doctors do not recommend it. I hate to be so jaundiced about the medical community, but there's a lot of money in pharmaceuticals. There's not a lot of money in Armour. So they say things like, well, Armour's not consistent. And the batches, oh, well, drugs aren't consistent either. That's just a big, big freaking myth, and you can ignore it. As far as your THS being 7.9, that's way too high. Most people feel better with their TSH low, their TSH around 1. A lot of people feel better with it under 1. I don't doubt that your TC, your total cholesterol, and LDL, HDL are elevated with a TSH at that level. So bring your thyroid down before your doctors talk you into taking any sort of drug. Now, naturally, pass everything by your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I have to say that as a caveat. But one of the major things that drive cholesterol high is an underactive thyroid. Yes, that's true. And is cholesterol and heart disease really related? Well, you don't even want to get me on that soapbox because it'd probably get me sued, but no. So anyway, I'll just say that and then everybody can yell at me later. Actually, they are related, but not in the ways that a lot of doctors in the media want you to believe. So get that treated. If you look into Armour Thyroid, that's what I can tell you. Thanks for the kind words, by the way. Lots of compliments on the books and things of that
John.
Nature. Yes.
Hey, it's Dan.
Shoot.
I just wanted to say something about, the smoothies that you have in your EOD diet, which are really good for supporting the thyroid, are also seaweeds, especially kelp. You can take kelp tablets, which is very supportive. And also what I have done, and you can buy this at a Whole Foods or any health food store, is Marine Coast Sea Vegetables has kelp or dulse. These are seaweeds, and you can put them in the smoothies. They don't taste bad, actually. They taste pretty good. And the smoothies, because the smoothies kind of overpower the flavor. And then coconut oil is also really important for supporting the thyroid. And it's also very high in medium-chain triglycerides. It also helps burn fat more as well. So those two things are very, very helpful. And I'm a huge proponent of cooking with coconut oil as opposed to vegetable oils, but that's a whole other subject.
Oh, well, it's one you and I would be in perfect harmony on. I love coconut oil, not only for what it does for your skin and your hair, but the medium-chain triglycerides. Let me, just so we're not using terminology that's like, that sounds like when people talk stocks to me, I get the same qua feeling that some people may be getting here. It's like, what are you saying? Triglycerides, we're talking about the molecules that make up a certain, I'm going to talk here as plainly as I can. Medium chain triglyceride molecule structure is a little bit different. It's put together differently than a saturated fat. You've got long chain, short chain, and medium chain. Medium chain triglycerides are metabolized a lot like carbohydrates, but they don't produce the insulin spikes that carbohydrates have. So when they first came out as a supplement, like just straight, like I remember CapTri back in the 80s, I mean, that was a horrible stuff, but it was just straight MCT oil. You could use it, pack on calories without worrying about getting a ton of insulin resistance out of it. But coconut oil by far is much, much healthier in my opinion and great to cook with because at heat it does not turn rancid and that's huge. At heat a lot of oils turn rancid, a lot of oils break down. You got a lot of problems when you got oils breaking down. You don't want to get oils into hydrogen mixed states. So, Dan, I think that you and I could agree on that. And we should write a book about it. Oh, there's probably about 30 books on that subject anyway. So, people are asking how long is the presentation? Yeah, exactly. Not by you and me. By the way, Robert, congratulations. Thank you very much for the kind words on 7-Minute Muscle, and One Rep. Hey, I am actually here with the author of One Rep Mass. He is, ducked into the other room. My friend Fabrice Rinaldi wrote One Rep Mass and comes out with One Rep Fitness next week. Oh, my gosh, man, this book is a killer. It is awesome. I actually helped a little bit in this one, and it was a lot of fun since I was here in France getting, the reason I'm here is my books are being translated into French. It's kind of nice. Since I've been here, it's like, hey, Fabrice is showing me all over France, and it's been great. And he wrote the book One Rep Mass and One Rep Fitness. And, yeah, they're great books, and thank you for the 7-Minute Muscle plug. Send me pictures from 27% down to 11.5, 25 pounds of fat loss and 10 pounds of muscle gain. Kicking, man, kicking. That's awesome. And you'll, Robert, you'd probably chime in and say, and yeah, I'm training 7 minutes to 14 minutes a day. Yeah, you can do that. Trust me. My best workouts have been under 14 minutes. Now, you have a question specifically, though. You want to get to 8% and pack on some more muscle mass. It, literally, you just keep going. And yes, it gets harder. When you get under that 10% mark, things get more difficult. Your body starts holding on to body fat simply because under 10% is not natural, and your body's going, hold it, I kind of need this to survive. So you got to give yourself a little bit of time. And that's when staggering your calories really comes in handy. And Robert, there's some hardcore tips that I use when I talk on, you know, on bodybuilding radio shows or bodybuilding forums that we use for getting your body fat down in those times. And if you email me, I'll be happy to share some of those tips with you. But they basically involve cycling protein and cycling, you know, all kinds of cycling things that you do with to get your body to where it can't adjust to anything. And the average person's not going to need to do that, because if the average person's at 11% body fat, they're going to be jumping for joy. So, but congratulations, Robert. I want to go on here just to a couple other questions, and then I have a specific question for Dan. I think that Dan's going to be the best to address with this. We have an interesting question from Canada. Not really sure. What about eating 3 meals a day, with eating big in the morning, a little less at lunch, and a light dinner? That's actually a very good strategy. If you don't want to buy a diet book, you know, and I said, okay, if I had to have a diet, what would I do? Well, that would be a really good way to do it. There's only two small problems with that, and let me tell you what they are. Number one is a big breakfast for most people, as Dan will chime in and say, will probably entail a lot of carbohydrates. And that's why Dan starts his morning with a smoothie, and we recommend that you do the same in every other day diet, not every day. Holly is a recipe guru. Thank you very much, Holly, for all the recipes. And her breakfast recipes are kicking. I mean, they're awesome. So that's what I call a big breakfast, only because it fills you up. It's really not big calorically. So when people eat a big breakfast, they usually eat like muffins or pancakes and things of that nature. And that's just going to make you feel like crap about, that's the midday blues that you get. You know, when you eat lunch at work and you come back at 2 o'clock and you feel like taking a nap, that's your blood sugar signaling to your brain going, don't eat like that anymore. Okay. That's really bad. Don't like that at all. And a little less, a light dinner. A light dinner is great, except, again, eating only 3 meals a day. If you're exercising, it's not enough. Prefer you eat four meals a day and a snack. And that's easy for people to squeeze in, because when I'm talking a meal, I'm talking very, 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 very small food, small comparison to what most people are eating. So you just break up your typical, food across those spectrums every 3 to 4 hours. So, if it wasn't for, I'd say, a better solution, which is every other day diet, and there's a lot of other ones out there that are good too, I would say that would be what I would do. That's easy. Okay. I've got a question here for Dan, and this is specific to, we want to move into the question of, we're back to the holidays here. Now, Dan, the reason I'm addressing this to you is you're a purist. You're a purist, isn't you? A purist. I don't know if you're a purist or not, but you're a purist when it comes down to nutrition. And you're someone that would say, I would rather, you know, and you're not perfect. You don't try to be perfect, but you do lean more toward, you're a guy that would eat fish for breakfast, you know?
Once in a while, not every day.
We talked about eating salmon for breakfast on the phone a couple of months ago. I was like, you know, that's crazy for me, man.
Is okay. You know, that's salmon. That's for breakfast.
Yeah. Here you go. Yeah. Work it into like a salmon omelet or something, you know. So for someone that is, extremely well-educated, extremely knowledgeable, but still coming from a scientific background, what do you think about the idea of over dieting, of getting people people who take on a diet? And I'm going to pick on a friend of mine's book here for a second, Body for Life. Body for Life changed I compliment it all the time because Body for Life, if it wasn't for Body for Life, millions of people would never have been introduced to how bodybuilders actually work out. Holly, you read it, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure that everybody's read Body for Life that's ever been into fitness. And Sean Phillips is one of my very close friends, and his brother Bill wrote the book and became a multi-gazillionaire because it was like the top selling fitness book in history. The beef I have with Body for Life, and Sean and I have talked about this at length and he agrees, is the fact that the retention rate is very, very low. Eating six meals a day, 6 days a week, I don't know about you, I'm not going to do it. I just don't want to do it. I'm too busy. I sometimes work 14 hours a day. I don't have time to eat six meals a day. So, Dan, when you look at things like that, how do you weigh practicality against nutritional excellence? How do you combine the two? And that's what we're talking about losing fat over the holidays, by the way. Practicality is enjoying a good dinner with your family, as one gentleman said, and a dessert. How do you avoid it? But nutritional reality has to kick in. So how do you approach it mentally speaking? How do you balance it?
Well, one thing I just want to mention, when I go home to my mom's, I used to kind of bring my own food and have her prepare. Like I would say, hey, Mom, I want this, you know, prepare this meal. And now I don't do that anymore. I keep my diet pretty clean when I'm on my own. And then when I go home and I'm eating with the family, I pretty much eat whatever they have, you know, because, you know, it's Mom's, it's home-cooked meal, and, you know, how bad could it be? So I just kind of go with the flow, so to speak, and then it's worked out for everybody. As far as practicality, you know, I do think it's important, like, to snack a little bit here and there. Like I said, I use pumpkin seeds and a lot of raw nuts. Could you do me a favor? Just be a little more specific with your question because I'm not exactly sure what the question is.
Well, I'm trying to say is like my whole take on this, as well as of course you know because you co-contributed to the book, is you don't eat perfect. That's the idea.
Right.
Is anyone that says
right.
I have to eat so perfectly strict all the time, how do you mentally balance that out with being in more of a purist? In other words, when you do eat a burger or a pizza or whatever it is that you might eat that's off of your quote unquote diet, how do you mentally balance? I should have been much more specific with the question. How do you mentally regulate that to where you feel like, oh, and everybody raise their hand. When you eat like that and you're on a diet, you think, I just blew my diet. How many times have you, I just blew my diet? And when you say that to yourself, you say, well, if I, you know, slice this tire, might as well slice all four and just blow it all. So how do you handle that? How do you feel like you didn't blow your diet? What's the mental tricks there that you use?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I got it. So thanks. So first of all, even though I know, you don't like the word diet and you didn't, EODD has the word diet and you've said in the book, you really don't like the word diet. So I'm not on a diet, so to speak. And I think just mentally, like if I have pizza, which I do, I was just in New York and I had pizza and I loved it. Or if I decide to have, you know, a burger, a bacon cheeseburger and a beer out on a Friday night with some friends, that's fine. I think that what I do that really works is every morning I start off right because every day is a new day. Every meal is a new meal. So I'm not beating myself up for doing whatever, for whatever I did because, you know, obviously you can't change the past. I can only look forward and change my future. So I'm really starting every day, pretty much every day, right. You know, I'm not starting it, like you said, the donut, the muffin, you know, even, you know, the bagel. I'm not starting out like that. I'm starting out by, you know, using usually a smoothie. I'm even putting, believe it or not, spinach in my smoothies because even though it doesn't look good as far as the color, you don't taste the spinach at all. So I'm getting greens in there. I'll even put raw kale in there. You don't taste it. And I'm getting really good, high-quality leafy green vegetables with tons of antioxidants and phytonutrients, along with the low-glycemic berries that you spoke about earlier. So, like I said, every day is a new day. I start off right. Even if I messed up the night before, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think that that's it's still somewhat of a mental juggling act whenever you say, okay, if I messed up and so, and everybody will mess up. That's okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to say. What the key is to have an exit strategy. And that's how I want to finish this, and then I want to go round robin with the questions because we've got over 100 questions in, and I just want to go, Holly, so, Dan, what do you think it is? I'm going to field all the questions to you guys, so have fun because I'm getting hoarse. The idea here is to be so mentally empowered with what you're doing and so clear on your focus on what you're doing, as opposed to saying if you're just randomly eating and you eat a big chocolate cake, yeah, you feel like you cheated. Or if you're on a super strict diet and then Thursday comes around and you can't wait and you eat a big pizza, oh, I blew my diet. So you blow it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What if all that was within your control? Meaning that you know that you're supposed to blow your diet on Thursday. That's my trick. And I wanted to just share that trick with you guys. This is my number one secret weapon for the holidays. I intend to blow it. And the reason why I know that that's okay is because I know metabolically what's going to happen. I don't blow it like a lot of people do where I just completely stuff myself and I feel absolutely sick afterwards. What I do, and I want to share this tip with you because it not only will help you lose body fat, it will make you feel wonderful. Now, I don't mean wonderful just physically. I mean wonderful spiritually and mentally. I stumbled on this trick years ago. I don't know about you guys, but when I would go eat with my family, when my family was still here, and when I would go eat with now I eat with friends' families, there's always leftovers, you know? There's always leftovers. And either grandma or your mother or your whomever wants to give you a big plate of leftovers and take this home. And so what the tricks that I learned is, number one, the first plate that I get on Thanksgiving when I'm around people, they look at me like, are you on a diet? You don't need to be on a diet. You're already lean. It's like, yeah, that's why I'm lean. You know, it's like, that's always struck as me as an ironic thing to say. Yeah, well, yeah, there's a reason, right? But what they don't see is I go back and eat the same thing about 2 or 3 hours later. Well, everybody else is feeling like absolute crap. They're laid out on the couch. You know, they're watching football. I have all the energy in the world because I didn't overeat. Well, I just ate the same thing they did. I just spread it out. That's a great trick. But I've already planned for it 2 or 3 days ahead. I already knew my calories are low. So I know by the time I eat that second meal, I'm literally sweating. My metabolism is so high. So that's how. And then that night, I always go for a walk. But let me give you the best tip of all. Take those leftovers, and instead of taking them home, just drive. If you live in a city, you can find this very easily. Find somebody that can't eat it all. And give that food to them. Has no food. And I started doing this. There's lots of homeless shelters in Dallas. When I was living in New York, you don't have to go find a homeless shelter at all. You just walk down the street. And when you hand a plate of food to somebody, it changes your life, I tell you. I mean, it sounds like a really trite thing to do, but it can change your life. So that's a great thing to do with your leftovers. What do you do with your leftovers? Give them to somebody that doesn't have any food. And I'm not trying to sound like a Puritan here. I'm not. But that really, really makes you feel great, and it gives you something a lot better to do with the leftovers than keep them in the refrigerator, especially if it's pumpkin pie and things like that. So if it's turkey breast, you know, give half and then keep half or whatever. But that's a great trick. So but before I get into these questions, I wanted one more thing, if I can, tax your expertise on one thing. We've got several questions here from the ladies about how every other day diet affects, how this workout and training routine would affect, the lower part of their body, shall I say, the buttocks, the derriere. And, Holly, you can speak to that because, you've earned it, baby. You've earned it.
so specifically meaning how it's going to reshape your bottom.
Basically, yeah, like I've got a problem in the butt area and I want to get rid of the butt and I want to get the hips back and the legs back. You know, what's going on here?
Well, I think
that's how
it's absolutely, you're going to reshape your entire body. And I think it's important for women to realize that this is not about spot reduction. We can't focus on just improving one part of our body because this is a total body process. So you have to go into it with the right mindset. We cannot determine what area of our body that we're working in order to lose the fat that's on it. So understand that this is a process, and once you get a consistent routine going with your workouts and your nutrition plan, you're going to start losing inches all over, and your body's going to take on a new shape. Now, as far as the shape that your body's going to take on, heck yes, you're going to totally reshape your legs, your thighs, your bottom. And I'm glad that whoever is asking this question asked to reduce their bottom, because I have had women say, I want to make my bottom bigger, and they were wondering what exercises they could do. So it does go both ways. So yes, with the reduction of body fat, you are going to lose the inches. You're going to be able to fit into smaller jeans. You're going to be looking better in the clothes that you're wearing. You're going to be looking better when you look at yourself naked in the mirror, when your loved one looks at you. And it is just a matter of staying consistent with your workouts and your nutrition plan. And I know people are just like, no, tell me the specifics, but truly, that's what it's about. And you have to understand that it takes time. It's a process. And the more consistent you are, the better results you're going to see. And as you're shedding that body fat, that's when you're going to notice the tone and definition. And of course, the getting rid of that unsightly cellulite on the backs of your legs, especially right underneath your bottom. I mean, that's going to go away, and your bottom's just going to lift and become firm. Your thighs, your legs are going to look gorgeous, especially if you like to wear skirts with heels. That definition's going to stand out even more. But you have to know what needs to be in place from the start and have the mindset to know that I just have to stick with this. And little by little, it's going to happen. Because one day, you're going to look in the mirror and say, wow, I never even realized that.
It's a great feeling. I've seen it in so many people. I've seen it myself. And when you do catch yourself in the mirror or you catch yourself walking down the street and there's, you know, one of those buildings with, you know, kind of glass, and you just kind of glance in there and you go, oh, that guy's kind of good looking. And you go, wow, that's me. It's like, that girl's hot. Oh, it's me. We're somewhat being kidding, of course. But yeah, when you look at yourself going, wow, I really have changed. It's one of the most empowering feelings you can have. And I use the word empower on purpose because we're about to share with you what I think is the ultimate secret weapon. I'm a little biased, but I've got some international good news about this. We just got picked up by an international marketer here that discovered Empower audio program I put together. That's a year long, by the way. And they discovered it and said, hey, we want to make this a worldwide thing. So I'm letting people in on this now, before anything happens to where our bandwidth goes small. And we have it on our every other day diet page. I'm going to tell you about that here in a second, but this is not a sales pitch. I want to get to the question so that we can, in fact, if it's okay with you guys, Holly's got to go. She's got a call that she's got to be on. And Holly, first of all, thank you so much for being with us. Your expertise is always really, really welcome. And ladies and guys, Holly is an integral part of the every other day diet. She was fantastic in the recipe. She's got her comments and blurbs throughout the book and just a lot of great stuff, not just for women, but for men too. So, and she's a great role model and just a sweet person. So Holly, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, John, and I'm here to help whenever it's needed. So just got to ask.
Okay. And one more thing. We've got a cool little situation. Holly's book, The Fit Yummy Mummy. I worked a deal with her. I said, Holly, could I please give your book away in if they get the upgrade package on every other day diet? And she said yes. So I'm not giving it away for free, but basically I'm saying, okay, I'm paying a little bit more extra because I want to have this book. It's a fantastic book. And if it's a great blend of exercise and nutrition, of course it works great with every other day diet. So you can get that on the website, everyotherdaydiet.com. But I want to blaze through some of these questions here before we get to the end here, if that's okay. Dan, can you hang with me here and help me answer some questions?
Absolutely, John. Go for it.
Oh, thanks, buddy. First of all, I'm going to go pretty fast here, so guys and girls, excuse me. What exercises do you recommend for a male 65 with hypertension? Is weight training still okay? I've got the worst, the worst genetics I know of anyone. Sky high cholesterol, hypertension, et cetera. I mean, I had all that stuff. And now all of it's controlled except for the cholesterol, which is managed. And to be honest with you, cholesterol is really not the danger. It's inflammation. So my inflammation rate is almost zero. But to make this a long story short, yes, you have to get your doctor's approval. But when you have hypertension, if it's not treated, you want to avoid certain exercises. For example, deep squats, definitely deadlifts, things that put a lot of pressure on your internal organs and a lot of pressure that, that drives your systolic pressure high and then sky high and then rockets down. That's the danger in the hypertension area. So, it's normal for during a, I just did squats a couple of days ago, like I said, and it's normal on a squat to have a blood pressure of 400 over 200 temporarily, which is, as you know, just through the roof high. And your body can handle that if it's not chronic. And if you've had blood pressure since you were, say, 35 and then you're 65, it's been chronic and those vessels have weakened. So, but as long as you're not doing extreme exercise like that, I think weight training is actually far better to bring down blood pressure, when, especially when combined with very low resistance cardio like long walking. Walking is just fantastic. If you want to lower tension, stress is a great way to do it. There's also a great book if you want to pick it up called The Blood Pressure Miracle. It's actually at, the website address is called Silent Killer Exposed. The original name of the book was called Silent Killer Exposed. I think he changed the name of the book, but it's a good book on natural blood pressure. So when should you exercise? Whenever you can. But I talk about this a lot in 7-Minute Muscle, time of day. I did a lot of studies and a lot of research on that. And time of day, I love to train earlier in the day when I have the energy. So that's just me. I prefer to train either like anywhere from 11 to 2. So I've got one or two meals in me when I train. But another great way to train, and let me give you this as another holiday fat loss tip. If you decide to start exercising, exercise first thing in the morning on an empty stomach. Now, I know a lot of you who are into weight training are saying, whoa, isn't that going to cause you to go into catabolism? No, not if you take a certain kind of supplements. And one of those supplements I've been asked about now 20 times, so I might as well mention it, tribustolplus.com. That is spelled T-R-I-B-U-S-T-O-L plus.com, tribustolplus.com. It is, the reason I'm talking about Tribustol Plus is because I know the guy personally. I've known him 25 years. He developed the supplement. He asked me to promote it for the last 4, and I have never promoted a supplement ever. As any of you, by the way, thank you very much for reading my newsletter. I really do appreciate it. I've tried to put a lot of work and passion into each one of them. But 100,000 people will tell you, I've never said, hey, go out and buy this particular supplement until now. And I'm sending you to his website, tribustolplus.com. And the reason why is because it's the first supplement that I've seen tested firsthand. You know, I actually went through it, taking it myself, and it actually helps you not only gain muscle but burn body fat in an indirect mechanism. And I'm not really sure, I've taken a few guesses at why the body fat, why it decreases. And the best thing I can come up with is it's some sort of a hormonal response. It's really interesting. The formulation's all natural. There's nothing, but there's a very high level of potassium orotate in it, which is a very specific and rather unusual version of potassium to put in a supplement, and high version of folic acid, which is great, by the way, if you're trying to get pregnant. But that's really not the use of the supplement. So, that's, if you take Tribustol Plus in the morning along with coffee, if you can drink coffee, if it's okay, and then a little bit of either an amino acid mixture, or you could take L-glutamine, which is great in powder form. You can exercise without worrying about burning muscle, and you will burn a lot of body fat because your blood sugar is already low. Lee, it's Armour, which is A-R-M-O-U-R, so you know. Okay, I'm going to go to Dan on this one. Dan, we have Jackie from San Antonio, another Texan. Do you recommend whey protein for women, Dan?
It depends on the whey. Any protein, this is a little bit more than she want to want, and I'll make a long answer short, but it really depends on the original source of what the cows are being fed. I like to be very much of a purist. I want to eat only grass-fed whey protein from cows that are fed grass. But at the very least, you want to make sure it's hormone antibiotic-free, which is extremely important. I don't want to be taking any extra hormones or antibiotics in my body. And then the other thing to look for is what are the additives in there? A lot of whey protein manufacturers will put aspartame or Aspartame K, these added sweeteners that wreak havoc on the body. They do spike insulin levels, and they're artificial sweeteners, mean they're made in the lab. They're chemicals, and you don't want to be putting any chemicals in your body. So, yes, I think whey protein is fine, but you really want a clean source.
I couldn't agree more. I think that one of the best whey protein sources was, and I think Jay changed it, was Jay Robbs. He used to sweeten it with stevia, and I love stevia myself, but I don't have a problem with stevia. But and he had the best protein bars ever. He took them off the market. I don't know why, but anyway, Jay Robb makes good stuff. There's other protein sources. You just have to be careful. And in general, I'm not quite the purist, obviously, because I love Full Strength by Sean Phillips. Fullstrength.com. It's more than a protein shake. It's actually a meal replacement, but it's got a little bit of Splenda in it. Not very much, very, very, very little. But boy, it tastes great. Anyway, so there's a lot of things to go in here. I'd rather be on a diet that tastes great, that's 90% pure, than be on a diet that's 100% pure, that tastes really good, but it's such a pain in the butt, I'm not going to follow it. So that's that's been my stance. So if anyone out there agrees with me, go check out Every Other Day Diet, because it's not a diet that you can't follow. It's actually in the real world. Okay, a couple of questions specifically for me. One of them says, and I'm sorry, Nastasia, I think is how you pronounce your name. Can I gain muscle without a caloric surplus, eating 5 times a day instead? Absolutely. Now, I actually wrote an article about this that got published on how to gain muscle on a hypocaloric diet, meaning under your calories. It's simple. You gain muscle from the body fat you're burning. Now, if you're already lean, it won't work. If you're under 6-8% body fat, it won't work. But if you're 15%, 16%, 20% body fat, absolutely. The trick is to get your body at night to be pulling its energy sources from body fat. And your body can absolutely use the energy it's required to gain muscle, to build muscle from very limited amounts of protein. It does not require great amounts of protein. We eat larger amounts of protein not for muscle, but primarily for nutritional control, meaning it blunts the appetite. It reduces insulin. There's so many great things about protein, I could just go on and on about it. But that's why we're doing that. And it doesn't have to be from a meat source, by the way. It can be from a vegetarian source, but you got to be careful with that. You got to make sure that you can mine everything properly. There's no comparison in when you look at the amino acid structures between an egg, let's say, or fish and meat to, say, soy. There's just no comparison. And I know because I've test all this stuff in labs and stuff, but can you do it on a vegetarian diet? That's another question. Yes, you can. You just got to be careful. You got to make sure that you combine it. And the easiest way to do that, by the way, is with an amino acid supplement. Just take 5 amino acids full spectrum and you're fine. That's pretty simple. So can you do it with absolutely resistance training, and I resistance train on low calories and gain muscle and lost fat. Go figure that one out. There's an article on it on 7minutemuscle.com. /gain-muscle. No, I think it's burn-fat-gain-muscle. I think that's it. Email me, I'll give you the article.
John, I just want to comment real quick on the soy.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, I don't think you're a big fan of soy. Is that accurate?
No, primarily because I'm hypothyroid.
Right, but also you have to watch to see where you're getting the soy. Like a lot of these, like soy dogs, soy hamburgers. All it is it's more processed food, you know, so you really want to be careful. You really want to, as you know, stay away from processed foods, which EODD doesn't really advocate, which is great. But I don't want people think like all soy, you can just go and have a soy dog and that's okay.
Right. It's like everything else. I mean, it's like whey. You got to be very careful on where you get the soy and things of that nature if you're going to eat it. And as long as you, by the way, you're not eating over 20 grams a day, which over 20 grams has been shown to induce hypothyroidism and certainly make it worse. So. That's one thing I want to avoid. But Cynthia, I'm going to answer Cynthia's question primarily because she's from one of my favorite cities in the entire world. I almost moved to Del Mar. Love Del Mar. All my friends in La Jolla, hello. Isn't eating so much protein more acidic on the body? Yes and no. The acid theory is just that. It's kind of a theory that says the water-based acid level in the body is important to your health. Just from a pure science perspective, there's not a lot of research behind that. There is some, and there's people that will argue it both ways. The bottom line is your blood acidic level is what's really crucial, and your body's got a built-in mechanism that will not allow it to deviate more than I think it's 0.2 points. It's extremely minor deviation. If it deviates, you die, so you don't have to guess. So is it more acidic? Yes. Can acidic conditions lead to disease states? probably, maybe, don't really know. It's not really, and here's what's really funny, it's actually better to be slightly acidic than slightly alkaline for your body to actually burn body fat and gain muscle and get the energy that makes you kind of want to be healthy, which is ironic since a lot of people want to be slightly alkaline. But here's the great answer to that. Drink lemon and water. There you go. You alkalize your body very quickly. If you really want to get carried away, you know, pour a little baking soda in there. Not baking powder, that will kill you, baking soda. But if you're really concerned about that, and I'm just going to keep going through here. Can I use SNAP and still gain muscle mass? Well, a very simple question to a very simple answer for that. Go look at my picture. If you think I'm puny, then the answer is no. Most people don't. So, yeah, I'd say absolutely you can. I eat the SNAP protocol, and I also eat the Every Other Day Diet Extreme plan when I'm getting into top shape. And yeah, since I am a fitness slash bodybuilder guy, yeah, absolutely. And you can gain 20 pounds in the next 4 to 5 months. If you gain 5 pounds of muscle a month, you're pretty young, I would say. And if you can do that when you're young. I've gained 20 pounds of muscle in a year. I wouldn't bank 20 pounds in 4 to 5 months without doing some sort of a massive, stack of creatine and possibly something that's illegal, and I don't recommend that, obviously. Now, if you're young, yes, you can put on 20 pounds in 5 months, absolutely. You just got to make sure you keep your calories up, your protein up, and you don't get too carried away on the burn days. Scott from Dallas says an absolutely ridiculous comment. I just basically want to jump through the phone and strangle him because he tells me not to cheer for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Scott's a good friend of mine who had to log on and give me hell for being a Cowboy fan since he's a Redskins fan and they barely won Sunday when we blew out. Was poor. Anyway, I don't want to get into football here. So we've answered, here we go again with the supplements. I've already talked about that, Tribustol Plus, T-R-I-B-U-S-T. You know what? Since it's not my supplement, I'm going to actually make sure I'm spelling that right. it is TribustolPlus.com. TribustolPlus.com. If it was my supplement, I'd name it something easier, but it's not my supplement. Good stuff, though, really good stuff. So we got a couple more questions here. Thank you guys for bearing with us. I extended it, like I said, I extended the broadcast another 20 minutes just so that we could get all these questions in. Steve has a very zen-like comment. Environment dictates outcome. Yes and no. Heredity and environment. Long argument there. I was a philosophy major, so we could talk about that, Steve. I believe environment has actually a lot to do with that. And let's talk briefly about that because I'm going to give you guys who stayed on the line all this time, I'm going to give you guys a huge, huge surprise. I told you about this, in an email. I said we're going to share a big secret with you. As I was saying earlier, my audio program Empower, which is not just me. If it was me gabbing for 48 audios, I wouldn't expect anyone to buy it. It's me along with 14 other coaches and a lot of valuable content on 4 M's, mind, meals, muscle, motion. My training comes in the mind area and the meals. We've got a lot of experts in the muscles and the motion as well. And it's a life-changing program, not just a body-changing program. But the people that have applied Empower to their life when it comes to fitness are seeing radically faster results. And if you go to everyotherdaydiet.com, the button is right there on your page. We have a package to where you can try Empower for free. And that's what we're working on in the background for 30 days. Try it for free. If you like, if after 4 audios, if you're not sold, then just say, I don't like it. If you do like it, it's cheap. So I made it ridiculously cheap. Empower used to be $495, and for 48 audios, it's really darn well worth it. I wanted to get this out to the masses, so I lowered the price to $197. But on this program, you pay it out monthly. It's like $24 a month. It's certain, and I guarantee you, it's life changing. So it comes with Holly's book, The Fit Yummy Mummy, and Every Other Day Diet, and all the bonuses you see on the page, and an unadvertised bonus. Dan's book, The Psychology of Slim, which is going to be up on the members area in a couple of days. So if you get it today, you'll have it in a couple of days. So there you go. Kind of cool. Check that out. Really, really highly recommend you check out Empower, especially since we're giving 30 days away for free. That's a surprise. We've never advertised it this way before. So kind of cool. Anyway, We got a couple more questions here, and then we'll have to call it off for the evening, mainly because I'm losing my voice. And I want to make sure that everybody gets as many questions as we can in. We've got, okay, great question. Do you have to lift weights to do the other, every other day diet? Yes and no. The first version of every other day diet, we started off and we said, you know, if you have to concentrate on one thing, forget exercise, concentrate on diet. I will still stand by that. And for a guy who loves every minute of it, that's a very difficult thing to say. The reason why is I think Jack Lane has it backwards. He used to say, and still does, he says that exercise is king and nutrition is queen. I'm not trying to get into hierarchies here, especially anything dealing with the sexes, but I would reverse that. Nutrition is by far and away more important. The reason I say that is because you can spend an hour on the treadmill and ruin it with half a bagel. Absolutely. Certainly a whole bagel. So I don't know about you, but that puts nutrition as king to me. And I, so, but now, you have to lift weights through every other day diet. If you really want to change your body, you have to do resistance training. I'm sorry. I would love to tell you otherwise, but to not, it would be lying to you. It would be completely lying to you. We do not have a weight training program in the book. The best weight training program I know is, naturally, I believe in 7-Minute Muscle. I did write the book after all. But that's something that everyone can do. Again, I lean toward the what can everybody do and still get fantastic results. And brevity training, it's called density training, is by far and away the best way to get that done. It's not a gimmick. It's not, you know, what was the show? Something About Mary, you know, 6-Minute Abs. It's not that. You know, it's not some gimmick. And it's certainly not some gadget that you have to buy. It's a system of training that allows you to over-adapt, and that would be one way to do it. But inside the book, Every Other Day Diet, I cover, if you don't, it's cool if you don't have money to buy a second book, because there's no way you can combine these two books. But I include a program called 9 to 5. And I know it makes you think of that really, you know, awful Dolly Parton song, but 9 to 5, or it makes you think of your work hours tomorrow. 9 to 5 is a really cool, very simple to do exercise program, which takes 9 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes at lunch. Okay, anyone can do 2 minutes, and 5 minutes at night. And, or you can do 9 and 7, and that 7 is a 7-Minute Muscle. So check that out. It's something anyone can do. And again, I think, it's crucial. What is my recommendation for someone who's had their thyroid removed? That's a completely out of my realm of expertise, although I know a little bit about it simply because I've read and wrote so much on thyroid boards. You obviously have to be on medication, and I would still talk to your doctor about Armour Thyroid, even if you have to combine it with something like Cetamil. But get with your doctor, ask him if you can do some form of Armour. You'll just feel better. I agree with Dr. Stephen Langer, who said, Armour Thyroid should be ground up and put in the water supply. Is protein hard on the kidneys? No, not unless you have pre-existing kidney disease. That's one of those myths that say it's basically the, and Lee, I don't blame you for buying into it because, man, a lot of people buy into it. I bought into it for a long time. But it's basically up there with you shouldn't weight train because you'll get too bulky. It's just not true. Protein is not hard on the kidneys unless, and this is the big unless, you have a pre-existing kidney disease, then almost anything is hard on the kidneys. Or you don't drink any water. So if you don't drink any water, anything is hard on the kidneys, but protein especially. So just drink adequate water. I have to say this because these questions keep coming in. We were just talking about 7-Minute Muscle. Dave, thanks. I'm currently doing 7-Minute Muscle, 2 cycles. That's actually my favorite one, by the way. There's 3 levels of 7-Minute Muscle, level 1, level 2, level 3. He's on level 2, which is 14 minutes. He's splitting that 7 minutes in the morning, 7 minutes at night. At least that's what I understand. And that way you don't have to train 5 days in a row. He's working out 2 times a day, for 2:30. Okay, well, if you're working out, if you're doing, the 30-minute segments, unless you're including cardio in that, you're breaking that 14-minute thing way out, unless you're doing the level 3, which, yeah, that's brutal. And he ends by saying, this workout is brutal in all caps. Yes, it is. I didn't say it was easy. I just said you could do it in 7 minutes. It is brutal. I think that's too much. If you're trying to get past 10% body fat and you just want to get down to a temporary goal, That's one thing. Yeah, you could do that. Do it for 8 weeks. Get down to your goal. But then don't burn yourself out. Be sure you have an exit strategy. That's very, very important. So, Dan, I'm going to leave this here and say, do you have any final thoughts here? There's a couple more questions that came in, and I want to answer them, and then I want to conclude it. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with people, anything that you want to get across or dealing with fat loss, the holidays, and basically how to mentally approach this whole thing called dieting?
Wow, that's a lot.
I just dumped everything on you.
I think one of the biggest things to really keep in mind is to not, like, you know, not, like, say that I'm dieting and focus on just moving towards health. You know, I talk about it in The Psychology of Slim, how important it is to move towards health as opposed to away from something. So moving towards health. The insulin thing is huge, you know, absolutely huge. Processed foods, anything that's processed, usually is going to have spike insulin levels a lot higher than anything that's going to be whole foods. So if you stick to whole foods and the fiber is intact to slow down insulin, right, you have the fiber to slow down the insulin response, that's going to be huge in having a slow and steady blood glucose level, which, you know, John, is really, really important. And I think, I have this, like, one little quick tip. If let's say you're during the holidays and going to a lot of parties, let's say you didn't want to have dessert, what I do is I carry some peppermint, a small vial of peppermint essential oil, and it's like instead of brushing my teeth, which I've heard people do, I just put one drop on my tongue after I have a meal, and I'm not in the mood for dessert afterwards. So that's a little strategy that I know a lot of people have used successfully, and it works for me too. But, changes
that's
your palate.
Cool. I never heard that one. Yeah.
It's very easy to do. So I think you covered a lot. I think this is a great call, and I hope a lot of people have gotten value out of it in helping them keep on keeping on by being healthier and working towards a leaner, fitter body.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Dan, and I'm going to answer a few more questions and about your expertise. Just always amazes me, and I'm really glad to have you around and thankful that you've contributed to the book. I want everyone to get their hands on The Psychology of Slim. I think there was a little miscommunication. A gentleman from Richmond, I believe it could be a lady from Richmond because these are initials, said that I will have EODD for free if I listen in. No, I said that you would have 30 days of Empower for free. Since you listen into the whole thing. And I also said that you'll get Dan's book, Psychology of Slim. And he actually sent me the final draft, I believe, today, but we didn't have time to put it up. So it'll be up in a day or two on the members section. So I'll shoot everybody an email when that's up. That book is excellent because it talks about the most important thing, which is the mind. And that's what Empower does. Empower is really all about the mind and how to get your mind working for you. And I wanted to say this in closing. Two things. One thing about Empower and one thing about a question. Empower, and the reason we put this with every one of my products, and it took me years to get this actually set up to where we could technically do this, because when you get the program, you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll log into the interface and you'll go, wow, this is really freaking cool. And it is. And it's just a very complicated thing to build. We built it all from scratch, and to integrate these products was very challenging. I literally had programmers in the background working while we were on this call and going, okay, well, I want to integrate this. And we ran into a snag today, so that happens. But it's successfully integrated. So the thing about the mind is both somewhat scary and somewhat enlightening. It's enlightening to know that you can, where your mind goes, your body follows. That you can change your mind and change your body. When you read 7-Minute Muscle, for example, I have a whole chapter on the power of the mind and just some studies that will blow your mind, no pun intended. Absolutely freaky stuff. This is not stuff out of National Enquirer. This is stuff out of medical and psychophysiology journals. That it's just nuts on what the brain can do. And you've got to tap into that. So the scary part is, for some people, is that it requires some reprogramming. And when I say reprogramming, I'm not talking about brainwashing. I'm not talking about hypnosis, although I'm a big believer in medical hypnosis. That's not the you're getting very sleepy or some sort of manipulative, you know, weird hypnosis. I'm talking about medical hypnosis that they use for people when they can't go under anesthesia, for example, or something, and they have to put them under. That's a really cool thing. My friend Michael Lovitch has a fantastic weight loss program and stop smoking program that's built on medical hypnosis, for example. But these things reprogram the mind to think in a different way. It changes the patterns of the brain. The brain is just like a record. It's got grooves in it. Once you scratch the grooves, the record never plays the same again. And what Empower does, and thank you, Mike, and thank you for everybody for chiming in saying, oh, I love Empower, thank you. What Empower does is scratches those grooves. And you can never listen to your life again. You can never listen to the same voice in your head again the same way. It just doesn't play the same way. So the next time you say, I really love chocolate, you'll say, no, I really enjoy chocolate. I love my wife. There's a difference. And once you start saying that you love something like a food, oh, I love hamburgers. No, I really do enjoy hamburgers, but I love my wife. Big difference. And your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference when you say, I love a cheeseburger and I love my wife, believe it or not. And you start linking these two things together. Empower helps you break those links. And that's why we want to include it into a diet program and into a muscle building program. Because the mind is the most essential element. You've got to get that moving first. It's on the page. Just click the button. You can check it out yourself, and you can check it out for 30 days for free on the deluxe upgrade and, I believe, on the standard upgrade. But got one more question, and then I'm going to say goodnight to you guys. Thank you so much for listening. It's 1:11 in the morning here. As you can tell, I still got plenty of energy, and this is a guy that has no coffee in him. Thank you for everybody saying thank you, by the way. I had a question about a pituitary issue, because I get asked this question a lot. If you have a pituitary problem, how are you able to even lose body fat? It's simple, and I talk very, very openly about this, and it's somewhat controversial because, I have been so open about it. Since I've been 27, I've been on, hormone replacement therapy. Because I had to be. They had to replace all the key pituitary hormones, which include thyroid, testosterone. I had the testosterone of an 80-year-old. That's no fun when you're 27, trust me. Growth hormone, you name it. And over the years, I've been able to wean off some of that stuff by using some natural means. The Tribusol Plus is great for testosterone, for example, so I've been able to cut that down, which I hate. I just don't like taking it. But things like that, in case people are wondering, we're not talking about anabolic steroids here. We're talking about medical, you know, very, very low levels to keep my levels normal. I had my blood tested 4 or 5 months ago, and my levels were completely average. In other words, I had a little higher level than testosterone than the average person because I weight train. But growth hormone levels were normal. Thyroid levels were perfect, thank God. So, yeah, that's how you do it. That's how I had to do it. Now, if I would know, somebody mentioned naturopause on the very first few minutes, naturopause.com, naturapause.com. If I would have known what Dr. Holly Lucille knows, when I was 27, I didn't have a clue. At that time I wasn't a nutritionist. I didn't know, anything about it. So, if I would have known that, I would have taken a different route. But, 10 years later, you just can't do it. So, and what I've got works. So that's how I deal with it. And I deal with it with a combination of, prescriptions that I have to take and natural substances. And I've been able to lower the prescriptions radically with the natural substances. So we've got 50 seconds left. And I just want to say again, thank you very much to everyone on the call. And if you're listening to this call after the fact, thank you very much for listening to this very long-winded conversation. I'm very passionate about what I talk about and sometimes just talk right over my hosts and guests. And I appreciate Dan being here. I appreciate Holly being here. And I wish everyone listening the best holidays that you can possibly have. And just do me one favor. Be good to yourself during this holiday season. Remember, this is the only body you got. Make it count and enjoy yourself, but just respect your body. And I promise you, you'll feel great the next morning. So everybody, thanks again for listening. Check out Every Other Day Diet. You can click the button right below. Join the Snap Challenge. We'd love to have you. Thanks so much for listening, and everybody have a great night.